okay? Ephesians 6:12, all right? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wouldn't it be easier? I mean, wouldn't it be easier to fight something you can see? Amen? Rather than something that we can't see, like the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That sounds kind of scary, you know what? But this verse in Ephesians is an explanation of exactly what it is that we battle as Christians. Not everything, all right? But much of the trouble that we go through, the struggles, the stresses, as well as many of the messes we find ourselves in, originate in hell itself. Not all of them. Sometimes we do a pretty good job ourselves of getting ourselves in messes. Amen? Yeah, yeah. Anyway, would you stand with me, please, and we will make our Bible declaration this morning. Just grab your Bible or your phone or whatever you might have. Hold it up towards heaven and repeat with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe that this can change your life?
Yes.
You do? Okay. Then why don't we start at the I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, and say it like you mean it, okay? Don't just say it because we say it every Sunday. Say it like you mean it, all right? I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's better. You may be seated. All right. Today I want to talk to you about something that we talked about a couple weeks ago, but I can't seem to lay it to rest, okay? And it's probably Christianity 101, because it's the first thing that we receive from the Lord when we invite Him into our lives. It's simply the subject of forgiveness, all right? And although it's simply the subject, many times it's not all that simple. How many of you know what I mean? Yes. Come on. I think that every believer knows, it's kind of a given, that we begin to think differently when we accept the Lord, right? We just change. And because our life changes, it's not the same. It can't be the same. You don't want it to be the same. Many times that's why you came to the Lord, because you are sick and tired of falling to the same old things that you fell to time after time. Am I right?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. When we allow Jesus and the Word of God to start making those changes and adjustments in our life, nothing remains the same. Say it with me. Nothing remains the same. And what's even more wonderful is this. It's the 101 part of it. We receive forgiveness, not only for the sins of our past, you know, but we receive forgiveness for the sins of our future as well. If we are repentant, if we're sorry, if we mean it for what we have done. How many of you are happy this morning that forgiveness isn't a one-time thing? Amen. Let me give you another timeless truth, okay? We couldn't change before we knew Christ by making a decision that we wanted to change our lives, and it isn't our decision to change that makes the difference today. It's God's mercy and grace. Say it with me. It's God's mercy and grace that makes a difference. In Titus 3:5, it says this, okay? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I mean, praise God. You couldn't be good enough, you can't be good enough, and you will never be good enough. It's only because of Jesus. And say that with me. It's only because of Jesus. Amen. As we go down this Christian walk, we find there are times that we just blow it. Come on. Come on. Even though we know what's the right thing to do, we too many times choose the wrong thing to do. Am I preaching to you this morning? Come on. And it's at times like these that it's so wonderful that we can go back to the Father and ask forgiveness again and receive another cleansing, if you will. But there's one thing about forgiveness that we need to know, and we need to get down in our spirits. We need to really know this. It's kind of a requirement of forgiveness. Oh, come on, Pastor West. There's no requirements of forgiveness. That's just given, and God just gives it. Oh, you know, yeah, oh, but there is. There is. You know how God's love is unconditional? Yes. And past our understanding? It's a wonderful gift. Forgiveness isn't like that. It may be past our understanding, and it may be a wonderful gift, and it is. But continual forgiveness is conditional. Continual forgiveness is conditional. When we read scriptures like the next two that I'm about to read, we find this to be true, okay? Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But. That wasn't a good thing to tell you to say. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I thought it was unconditional. I thought I just got it. No. One more. Matthew 11, 25 and 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But, but, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Do you see it now? Well, I thought I just got that. I asked it and I got, no. There's a condition that's placed on forgiveness, and we can want it to be different all we want. We can say it's different, but you know what? It's the way it says in the Bible, okay? What's the condition? You know, we have to forgive other people. We have to forgive them of their sins against us as well. Are you following me so far? There's a parable in Matthew chapter 18 that's even harsher and even clearer. How many of you know the Bible can be harsh at times? Okay. But it is clear. Okay. Let me give you the details of the parable. Okay. A king had a servant who owed him this impossibly large sum of money, so large that he could never pay it back. When the servant pleads for more time to pay it back, the king shows this great compassion, and he cancels the entire debt. I mean, the whole thing. He didn't cut it in half. He didn't cut it in thirds. He just canceled it. Okay, so the same servant then encounters another servant who owes him money, just a small amount of money. And the unforgiving servant demands immediate payment. Got to have the money right now. He doesn't get it and has the other servant thrown in prison. Let me tell you what the king's reaction was. And you know who the king is in this case, right? Okay. When the king hears about it, he's angered by the servant's lack of mercy. The king then calls the unforgiving servant back and says he's going to take back the forgiveness that he gave him, because he did not show the same mercy that he received. The servant is then ordered to be imprisoned until he pays the entire debt. Now, what's the lesson that we can take away from that parable? Jesus concludes it by saying this: our Heavenly Father will do the same to us. Are you with me? Will do the same to us if we do not forgive our brothers and sisters from the heart. And you know, it's no wonder then, truly, it's no wonder that the devil puts in overtime to get you and I to hold a grudge and become offended. And as a result, we hold back forgiveness and not forget the pain of the offense. I know people say to forgive and forget. I don't know how you can forget. My son was killed, okay, when he was four. I can't forget that. I can't forget the guy's name that did it, okay? I can't forget that. But I can forgive the hurt, okay? I can forgive the hurt, and I can say, God, you know, I forgive him. I want to see him in heaven. I don't want to sit with him in a room here, okay? You know, but I want to see him in heaven. Are you following me? But the enemy of our souls wants to steal one of your most precious gifts daily, the gift of forgiveness. And so he plots and he plans and he secretly schemes and he sets traps and he tries to get us to be an unforgiving person. Now, according to the Bible, if we can't forgive within our heart, if we can't find within our heart, excuse me, to be a forgiving person, God won't, within his forgiving nature, issue forgiveness for us. Man, that's hard. That's hard stuff. I mean, you want to know why that's hard? You want to know why that truth is hard? Because it's much easier to believe the lie than it is to walk in the truth. Amen? Amen? It is. Being a Christian isn't simple. It isn't easy, okay? You have to make a stand in places where other people won't make a stand. You have to decide what it is, how far you'll go, how far you'll go to be a part of somebody else's stuff until it's compromising your faith. And then you have to stand there. Amen? That's not a popular thing to do. And another thing. Listen, I've said this 100 times, you know. I don't like talking about the devil, but the Bible warns us time after time to be aware of the devil's wiles and his ways. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "The devil is like a roaring lion who roams about seeking whom he can destroy or whom he can devour." So, you know, it's like whether we like it or not, the devil is a very real personality or entity who's out there with a very real plan and a very real push, if you will, always looking for ways to mess up our life. Amen? Amen. Gary, could you come and pray for the message? And yes, that was just the introduction, okay?
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, God. I thank you that you are going to open our ears, Lord, open our hearts, let our minds focus on your word today, God, on what Pastor West says today. Father, I thank you that we will take it, God, and that we will, God, not even that we'll take it, Lord, but you'll just pour it into us today. God, cleanse us with your word today. God, just instill it in us today. Father, let us leave this place changed.
Yes, Lord.
God, we all need to be changed.
Yes, Lord, we do.
Father, we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Amen. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. Now, Paul wrote here, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And please, never, never, never forget that the writers of the Bible spoke under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? This isn't Paul's opinion, okay? Every word of the Bible is God-breathed, not Paul-breathed. Amen? No, you're not hearing me. When you read the parts of the Bible that you don't like, that you would just soon kick out, that you don't want to accept them, you want to say, that can't be true. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because every single word was God-breathed. Okay. Remember the scripture that's found in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, say all.
All.
Say all.
All.
All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. This is out of the NLT. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Don't buy the lie, because this seems to be the thing that many people are saying today. Don't buy the lie that the Bible is just a bunch of writings thrown randomly together to prove a point. Nothing could be more wrong. In fact, you know, and I've said this again probably 100 times, you know, this made the difference for me. You know, God gave me a hunger for the word, and this made a difference for me. And for some reason, maybe it was put in me by my parents, I don't know what, but I believed every word that it said, and I couldn't discount it. There was times when that thing made me a hypocrite. And there's even times today that it makes me a hypocrite. But I have to be open for change. I have to be open to change now, just as I was open to change when I first accepted the Lord. And you know what? You better be open to change from now on. until you go and be there with him. The Bible is God's word. Amen? It washes you and it cleanses you and renews you and it changes you. Anyway, back to 2 Corinthians 2:10. Paul is speaking in reference to a man who they put out of the church in 1 Corinthians for a sexual sin that he had committed. And he said this in 2 Corinthians 2:10. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed I have forgiven, this is hard to read. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Now, can we agree here that the context is forgiveness? Okay? Lest Satan, here we go. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, brackets for not forgiving, right? For not forgiving. For we are not ignorant of his devices. I want to look at three words that are written in this passage of Scripture. And they're all out of verse 12. The word advantage, the word ignorant, and finally the word devices. Let me read that one verse to you again. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And I read that again because I want you to understand I'm not devil-focused. That's wrong to be devil-focused. But it is just as much wrong to ignore where the trouble's coming from. Amen? And the trouble is coming from no place other than hell, okay? Okay. Paul clearly understood that Satan had this fixation, if you will, on always seeking ways to take advantage of you and I. One of the best ways that he does that is try to plant unforgiveness in our hearts. He gives us all kinds of excuses. Oh, but you don't know what they did. Nobody should have to take that kind of thing. Nobody should receive that kind of words. That shouldn't happen. Of course you can't forgive. No one could forgive. But God encourages us to forgive. Why? Because we want forgiveness. Because we all end up being hypocrites from time to time. What is a hypocrite? It's a play actor. It's like the Greek says, it's a play actor who acts in a theater. It's not who he is. It's just who he acts like he is. You know, I don't ever want to be guilty of just acting like I love the Lord. And just acting like I get passionate about something, or just acting like this is no big deal. I don't want to be that way. You know, I had a feeling that the Lord was going to make me go a little bit of a different way here. I'm going to preach this, but you have to hear this. So many of us end up in something I would call passive Christianity. And you can't put the two words together. There is no such thing as passive Christianity. There's Christianity and there's passive. But you can't be a passive Christian. You've got to take your stand, and you've got to stand where you know you have to stand. You have to know that God is saying to you that, you know, in order for me to forgive you, you have to forgive other people. You have to have the mercy, you have to have the grace that I will give you to do that. Amen. And if you can't do that, there's something wrong. And he gave us, I only gave three examples in the New Testament where we have to forgive. You know, and if we hold that back and we come to church every Sunday, we read our Bible every day and we pray, we're a hypocrite. Amen. We're a hypocrite. If we can't forgive people for doing something that maybe they mistakenly did or maybe they on purpose did, it doesn't matter where forgiveness is concerned. How many things have you done that you've done on purpose? And then had to go back to God and ask forgiveness from him. I wish it were so much easier. You know, I wish it was so much easier where you could just go, oh God, I'm sorry. And it's ding, it's gone. There's even a place in the Psalms where it says, keep me from secret sin so that I might be innocent of great transgression. The great transgression. You know, if you sin on purpose, has anybody ever done that? I'm the only one, hey? Yeah, okay. Okay, if you sin on purpose, meaning you know you're going to sin, but you do it anyway, not only are you a hypocrite, you're guilty of a great transgression. I mean, I do enough stuff wrong. All right? I do enough stuff wrong than to step into that arena of the great transgression. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's so easy for us as Christians just to go to church every Sunday, hopefully. Maybe not the way it really is, because the Bible warns us about that, you know, about not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, as we see the day approaching. Okay, so obviously, as the day of his coming back approaches, less and less people are going to go to church. And that's sad. And, you know, maybe I could just ask you one question this morning. Why'd you come to church this morning? Why'd you come? What was your purpose? What was your... Did you have a need? Because that's a good reason to come, you know, if you have a need. Did you want to receive prayer for something? Because that's a good reason, too. Or did you just want to hear a message from a really good pastor? That's the best reason. One thing you have to understand, you're coming to church on a Sunday morning, you can't always hope to receive, because there's going to be times, there should be times when you give. Maybe somebody's depressed and you've experienced depression, and so you give to them what took you out of the depression. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, there's this principle, and I think I read it somewhere, that when you give, you get. So if you give to other people, and if you minister to other people, you're going to receive the ministry that you were hoping to get. If you sit down and you just sit there and don't say hi to anybody, and then say the church isn't friendly. Not that I've heard that. But if you do that, and you do that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, chances are the ministry that will come out of that church towards you is going to dry up. Because ministry isn't a one-way street. It's two-way. Okay? Probably the most hypocritical thing that we do is obey a whole bunch of the quote requirements, the freedoms that we learn in the Bible, but we hold back on one. Because then you're just play acting, that you believe what the Word says, that you are this hyper super Christian, which I hope I don't ever give you that impression, because I don't want you to think that. Because I'm not. You know what I did? Never mind. I get angry. I get really angry. I really do. And I don't always have the best thoughts in my head, but you know, I realize that I'm a work in progress, okay? That isn't an excuse to make it okay that I can do those things, because it isn't okay. But at least gives me an avenue back to God. To be able to say, God, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? Because I forgive that idiot. No. Oh, come on. Like, you never said that. Boy, would you stop in my office after work, tell me how you do that, you know? And I think the biggest thing that the Lord would have us get out of today. And I don't mean to say hypocrite in an accusing manner. Just think of the meaning of the word. It's a play actor. It's an actor in a play, putting on a show, you know. I hope we're not just putting on a show and believing some of the things that it says in the scriptures and leaving other things out. Because I think I read somewhere something like, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. Okay? That's another one of those hard scriptures I would just soon throw out. And I've told you this before, but I got to tell you again. There was this man. Actually, he was a pastor. And he had backslidden, and he had an affair ongoing. And I was with my pastor at the time looking for him to try to correct him, you know. And we didn't find him, but we found his Bible. And we turned in his Bible to the place where it speaks against adultery, and it was ripped out. you know, that doesn't matter. You can rip whatever you want to rip out of the Bible, okay? And you cannot obey whatever you don't want to obey out of the Bible. You can say, I don't know, but I also remember reading somewhere that God's laws are written on our hearts. You know when you're doing wrong, and you know when you're doing right. So I don't use the word hypocrite as an accusation, just kind of a place where, unfortunately, some of us, all of us, find ourselves from time to time. In one of the biggest places is holding grudges, role-playing issues that didn't go our way, so we can be mad again, you know, just mad all over again. What sense does that make? If you could know and see into my heart how many times I replayed that man that hit my son and killed him. It happens to all of us. But try, role-playing doesn't do anything but make it fresh again. And why do you want it fresh again? When you really have to forget the hurt of what it did to you. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Don't let him take advantage of you, you know. And there's one thing about the devil's devices, they don't change. They don't change. The actual, from the Greek, when it talks about the devil's devices and schemes and his wiles, it talks about, it infers anyway, that the devil takes you down a road, okay? You know what he does? He takes you down the same road. The same road you went down last time, and you think you're so high and mighty because you've won. And then he tempts you, and you turn down that road again. Amen. And you know what? You know where you're going to end up. Hey, I'm sorry. Maybe I've become cynical, and I probably have. But from my experience, when I turn down that road, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going to end up. Come on. And so then all of a sudden you become a hypocrite. Now I believe there's people that fall to the same sin over and over and over again. And I believe they are totally repentant every time they do. Just totally. I had a guy one time that came in my office and he was hooked on pornography. And he would do good, and then he'd fall. And then he'd feel so bad. And I believe that he really did. I believe, you know, and who am I to judge whether he was repentant or not? But he was repentant, okay? So I think you can fall to the same thing. And even though he knew where he'd end up, if he turned down that road again, he'd start all over in a long, arduous road of trying to get away from that. Because I don't think there's anything more addictive to man than that, at least from my experience. But you can be repentant just so long for the same old sin. And what I'm saying is, what happens to you is you don't realize that there's a big deal after you do it so many times. And so you begin to just accept it. What's the big deal? Everybody does it. You know, I heard of a pastor that used to do it. It must be all right. And you can think about how ridiculous that sounds, but, you know, we've all used that excuse. I didn't think this was going to be this serious this morning. I had a couple of jokes in here that I thought was funny. I know you don't always think they're funny. But I think one of the most important things that we have to do is to make sure that the devil doesn't take advantage of us and plant unforgiveness in our heart. Okay? And let me just, I'll use this much of it. The Greek word for advantage, where he takes advantage of us, is planteo, and it means to outwit. Okay, he outwits us. It means to trick. Or again, it means to take advantage of someone through some sinister or sneaky means. Is a compound word, the first word being pleon, which means more. The second word being echo, which means to have. When we put these two words together, they form the word, this is an easy one, okay? Pleontexectecho, okay? You got that, because I'm not going to say it again. And it means the devil has the desire to have more and more and more and more and more and more and more. Of what? Of what? You. He's never satisfied. I mean, you can fall to what he brought to your table, whatever, you know, but that's not enough. He wants more. That's only the first step, okay, because he'll bring a second step. Maybe you'll be repentant over that first step, and maybe, just maybe, and I know that you received the power and you are empowered to walk away from that thing, but then there's that, just that devil comes with that same old signal to turn down that road. And it might be a week, it might be two, it might be a month, it can be a year. And what do? You know, we turn down that road. And I know Charlie Kirk wasn't a saint, okay? Well, yeah, he was, because you and I are, okay. He said he wanted to be remembered for courage for his faith. I mean, what do you think of when you see him? When he's mentioned, you think of the courage that he had to share his faith. And if you're like me at all, you know, you have to self-examine. You have to look within your heart. Am I that driven, if you will? Am I appreciative of that forgiveness, that deliverance, that chain-breaking, bondage-breaking blood that washed over us? Am I that inspired to share like that? Hopefully the answer is yes, but I would imagine the answer might not be. And am I saying we should all be like Charlie Kirk? Probably, okay? But we're not Charlie Kirk. We're ourselves, okay? But isn't there something we can do? All right? You know, I'm not trying to heap any condemnation on you. The thing that the devil wants more than anything, and he wants more and more and more and more, is control. And he'll use any method that he can to take advantage of us and get us to the place where we're under his control. Unfortunately, he uses the same thing on Gary that he used on Gary last week. And he uses the same thing on Matt as he used last week. Because he knows it works. He's seen it work. But it doesn't have to work, okay? It doesn't have to work. You remember when you first got saved? I mean, you were so on fire for the Lord, man, you know, and gosh, if you got tempted, the first thing you said was, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." When was the last time you said that when you were tempted? I encourage you to start rebuking the evil, if you will. Anyway. It also talks about being ignorant of his devices. You see, ignorance opens doors. It does. If what we believe about God isn't what is really the truth about God, you've already thrown the door open. And I'm going to leave you to your own example of that, because I'm sure there's many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. One of the big things is, where does sickness come from? Oh, I'm sick because God gave me this sickness because he wanted me to bring him glory. You know, a kingdom divided against itself won't stand, right? If Satan cast out Satan, his kingdom won't stand. It's a truth, right? Well, if God casts out God, You see, I got healed August 4th, right? You know, totally healed, completely. Glory to God, totally healed. You can't have my colon. That's what I said. And I don't serve a bipolar God. I hope that's enough. I know there's controversy where that's concerned, and there's controversy where much of what God does and is concerned. I've landed there. But I'm going to end with this, okay? There's no such thing as passive Christianity. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. As soon as you stop wrestling, you're beat. Right? You stop struggling against what's struggling against you, you're done. It's over. I encourage you to keep on wrestling, okay? Keep on wrestling. And that might be in a plethora of different areas. It could be in whatever he's tempting you to do. Maybe he's tempting you not to tithe. Maybe he's tempting you to agree with your friends when you really don't agree with your friends. Maybe he's tempting you to just go a little ways down that road because that's all the farther you have to go. But you know better, don't you? You know better. You know better what will happen because you know yourself. I think if there's one thing I've learned since I've been a Christian, I've learned who I am. And it's great in God's eyes, okay? But when I look at myself and I see how many times I fail and how many times I know to pick the good and I don't pick the good, I know myself. And I know I can't begin to turn down that road. And I know I can't begin to entertain some thoughts. And the minute I do, I've got to kick them out of my mind. And I don't care if you got to say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, or just plain say, no, no, I'm not going there again. And I've said this before too, but you know how hard you struggled to get out of the stuff that you were in? Why would you want to go back there now to struggle all over again? I think this is one of those sermons where it's, help, I'm talking and I can't shut up. But we don't want Satan to take advantage of us. We don't want to be ignorant. Because we do know what his devices are. I know what his device is for me. I don't know what his device is for you. You know, but you know. You know. You know that thing you fall to over and over again? That's his device for you. But reject passive Christianity, which there can't really be that. It's just like saying, boy, that person's really a committed Christian. Is there another kind? I mean, isn't that what a Christian is? Committed? Okay. Okay. Reject passive Christianity. Don't be a hypocrite. Are you with me? That's almost what I had written. Okay. But not really. So again, I got to believe somebody needs to hear that this morning. So you need to do with that what you should, okay? And praise team, would you come up, please? Now I'm going to leave it up to you, okay? That if you want to come to this altar and talk to the Lord while we're playing this last song or songs, whatever it takes, then I encourage you to come. For some reason, making a move and getting up and coming to the altar kind of makes it real in our lives. We can sit in our pews and vow that nothing's ever going to happen again, but there's something about coming to this altar. Do I understand it? No, but it doesn't change the fact. I have stopped doing some of the most detrimental things that I have done in my life by coming to an altar and confessing them to the Lord, and walking away feeling clean, feeling like things are going to be different. But please sing this song with us. Why don't you stand, please? And if you want to come to the altar, come. If you don't want to, don't come. I would encourage you not to pass up the opportunity, if that's you, but...